Lord, we glorify you. Jesus. Lord, we worship you. You are our greatest treasure. By far, there's none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Jesus. Father God, we're so grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the greatest gift of all, your Son, in my place. That I could be born again and stand in that position, identifying with Jesus as firstborn from the dead. Glory. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, glorify you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, as I speak this evening, pray that it's not myself. That as I hear, I speak. And I arrest the powers of darkness who would try and cause any distractions, disturbances of any kind, confusion of any kind. They have no place here in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for perfect peace. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Somebody here right now needs that perfect peace to rise up inside of them because they have turmoil. Lots and lots of turmoil going on inside of them. So let's help that person out. I'd like for you to raise your hands with me. And if that's you, as your hands are raised up, I want you to, on purpose, draw from that grace, the grace of God. Just receive His grace right now. Just receive it. See right there, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Just like I'm being bathed right now, so are you. Just receive. If you're listening, just receive. Receive. Receive the peace. He does not want you to spend one more second in turmoil. That turmoil is authored by the enemy himself. And he wants you to stay in that turmoil. Don't stay there. Dear Lord, don't stay there. You don't have to. You do not have to. Raise your hands just one more time, please. Jesus. Jesus, 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 glory to God. Oh, Father, you're so good to us. Father, you're so good to us. Holy Ghost, we welcome you just to sweep through this place right now. Holy Ghost, we receive, we receive. One of the greatest things you'll ever learn is how to be a great receiver and just receive. And stop trying to work for it. You can't earn it. It's all free by grace. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just going to wait here just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been getting testimonies from people that have contacted our ministry through the internet, have sent us prayer requests. We prayed for them and seeing immediate changes in the circumstances and the people that we've been praying for. Glory to God. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Is it possible there's somebody here that's got a splitting headache? Any kind of a headache whatsoever? Because if you do, come right up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to lay hands on you. I want you to receive it. Jesus' name. Pain, get out completely. In the name of Jesus. No more headache. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to receive it right now. Healed. Healed. Made whole. Jesus' name. Pain, command you to get out, and you have to obey me in the name of Jesus. You have to obey me. Out. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Kotora basita. Shede beto sita. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're listening to this through the internet, because I know that there's many that do, as a point of contact, I want you to lay your hands on your monitor, on your laptop, whatever it is. And I want you to receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. If you've been at any of the services here lately that I've been doing, you've heard me talking about being a son of God. And this kind of started with me about a month or so ago. And all of a sudden, one day I was walking in my house and the reality of being a son of God just seemed to settle in on me. And I was just walking around in my living room and I was saying, God, you're my father. And I'm your son. And just as I began to say it, I mean, I just crumbled to the ground and I was crying. And I know, as I look back, I know that he was taking me into this direction because I prayed myself here. And being the naive person that I am, thinking, well, you know, who's ever taught about this before? Well, I happened across tapes from Pastor Dave just actually it was yesterday. We have all the tapes for years back from the ministry here. And I was looking at some of the titles on some of the messages from, I guess it was 2001. And it was the glory of being a son of God. It's not new. And it wasn't new when Pastor Dave had the revelation. In 1994, someone gave me a book about a man by the name of John G. Lake. Anybody ever heard of John G. Lake? Sure. As a man that God used mightily. Here I had this big, thick book, 1994. What is it? What do you think it talks about in there? About being a son of God. The miracles that John G. Lake had. You can almost draw a straight line from his understanding and his revelation of being that son of God to those miracles. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about on the miracles that Lake had in his life. You know, he went to Africa, and we're talking not in the modern era. We're talking back in probably the early 1900s, I believe, is what it was that he went there. Went there with maybe as much as $100 in his pocket and his whole family on a boat. I mean, this is the kind of faith the man walked in. He gets there. And, you know, we're talking about Africa. We're talking about a time period when there was plague, smallpox, all kinds of horrible diseases. Now, I don't know about you, but praying for somebody that's got the plague, and not just the plague, but, you know, that they have the manifestation in their flesh of this disease to where there's pustules that you lay your hand on, the pustule itself. And he doesn't get sick from it. He doesn't get the plague. He doesn't get the smallpox. He's laying his hands on people that normally, to do what he's doing, what he did, you would walk away and you would contract that disease. You would contract that plague. You would contract that smallpox. He's laying his hands right there. And at one point, and I've heard this, and I can't turn to the page and tell you where it's at in his book, but they took some of the pustules and he put it in his hand and they put it under the microscope and you could watch as that thing died. That was John G. Lake's special. Because, you know, a lot of people think that. Well, he was just, God just sovereignly, I don't like that word, the way they use it, sovereignly moved. Like, God just picked John Lake out because he thought he just liked the way his hair was cut. He just liked the way he smiled. He liked the way he talked. No, none of that. None of that at all. The man had a revelation of what it means to be a son of God. And he lived it. He wasn't sitting there trying to decide whether or not to lay hands on this person. Like, I don't know, I might get this, I might not, I'm kind of scared. If you're like that, don't do it. Do yourself a favor, don't. He had a revelation. He laid his hands on it because he knew in his heart that when he prayed, that person would be healed. He knew it. He didn't just think it. He knew it. There is a place that we can get to. And I talked about this a little bit Sunday morning in 2 Corinthians 3:18. In this walk from glory to glory. See, this glory is this sonship, and walking from one stage of this glory to the next is this revelation that's going off inside of us as we progress down this path, as more of His Word is illuminated in our spirit, not in our mind. Now, it has to pass through that little nut up here to get into our heart. But this is not a mental thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about letting it pass through your mind into your heart and then cultivating it, watering that word, continuing to speak over it, nurture it, until you have the same revelation. Because it's possible. If it was possible for him, it's possible for every single one of us right here, right now. It is. This is what the Father intended all the time. He intended this all the time. He didn't think, well, there's only going to, let's see, okay, there's going to be John Lake and maybe there'll be a couple other ones. No. See, that's what we have the perception of, because we think, well, John Lake was special. See, that's not what God thought all the time at all. He wanted all of us to walk as Jesus walked. Do you think Jesus laid his hands on anybody sitting there, oh, I'm kind of afraid. I don't know if I'm going to get this or not. Of course not. We know not. So what happened to me? Well, what happened to me, because I had the book, 1994. I had the book. There it is. Talks about sonship. Talks about being a son of God. I heard the tapes from 2001 when Pastor Dave Sin talked about the glory of being a son of God. Did I walk in that? Did I walk in it in 2002, 2003, 2004, all the years, almost, what, 10 years since then? Unfortunately, I didn't. Why not? What happened? Because herein is what we don't want to have happen to us now. You can sit as I sat and listen to it and understand the concept of what I'm talking about in your nut, in your mind. But it takes an effort to get it to pass from your head, from your mind, into your heart to produce that revelation. And that, my friend, is what we've got to get a hold of. We've got to get a hold of this. Because Pastor Dave, he's got it. Can you agree with me on that? I see it. I see the manifestation coming through him. And just go through the prayer line and watch. But see, I don't want to just watch him. I want it. How many of you want this? Do you really want it? Because it's available to you. It is available. But see, what happened to me was Mark chapter 4. It's Mark chapter 4. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, choke the word. All the things that you see there that cause that word not to be productive in Mark 4. That happened to me. And I let it. You see, what my hope is that I can instill within you the understanding that the devil is going to come. He is going to try to take away this from you. Why is he going to try to do this? Why does he not want you to know who you are, to have a revelation of being that son of God? Why? Do you understand how infuriated the devil is? Infuriated that God would allow you to become a member of his family. I mean, think about the devil, a created being. He was the top of the list of angels, archangels in heaven. Was he a son of God? No. He was only a created being. And now he looks at you, and here's what he sees. He sees that God has invested within you life. The life that originates in God. And not only that, he's brought you into his family. He didn't do that for the devil. He didn't do that for Lucifer. He didn't say, Lucifer, come and join my family. No, but for you, he did. Is that awesome? That is awesome. And can you imagine now what the devil, how he must feel to look at you? Look at you. Who do you think you are? Do you think he's not going to fight you tooth and nail to try and pull out from inside of you anything that would give you any kind of a revelation of who you are as a son of God? He's going to fight you tooth and nail. Everything that he has, he's lining up against you right now to try and get you to turn loose of this. Here's what he would like for you to do. Just spend the rest of your life putting out fires. Don't ever discover who you really are. Don't ever cultivate the revelation of being a son. Just spend the rest of your life putting out fires. Here's another fire over here. Come over here. Put this one out. Oh, here's another one over here. You know what he's doing? He's leading us around by our nose through problems. Does anybody ever feel that way? I mean, come on, tell the truth. Of course. Come on over here. We got to use our faith over here. And all the time, I am a son of God. I am a son of God. You're a son of God. God is our Father. God is our Father. You know, when I say it, the anointing just starts to rise inside me because he loves this. I could just sit here and say that. And he would be so happy. God is your Father. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, God, the one who created everything that there is, who's existed forever, who's always existed, there's never been a point in time when there was not God. He is your Father and you're his Son. I really want you to make a point of cultivating this on the inside of you. Look at these scriptures, particularly in Romans 8, and we'll look at some of them tonight. Particularly in Romans 8, get these inside of you. Because here's what happens. You know the parable, Gary broke the parable in Luke chapter 18 of the unjust judge. What is the unjust judge? The unjust judge, that's your soul, particularly your mind. And if you look at that, I think we should look at that. Go over to Luke 18. We're going to start there tonight. Kind of wondered where we were going to start at. We'll just start right there, Luke 18. It's a short parable. And he spake a parable. This is Jesus. Spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. He didn't fear God, neither did he regard man. And there was a widow in that city. Now, I haven't really ever heard this brought out before, but you know, you think about a widow, it's particularly someone in this time period, if she was really a widow according to Jewish law, she was pretty much helpless. You know, they had to be a certain age. They weren't someone that's going to get remarried again. So it's an older person. She's lost her husband. So in this time period, she's lost the person that's basically going to be the one that's the breadwinner. So we're looking at someone here that is relatively helpless. And here's what happens. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, I remember hearing this taught before I heard Gary break this down. And people were trying to teach this like this unjust judge was somehow God. That's not correct at all. This unjust judge is your soul, particularly your mind. Going back to what I was saying initially about my understanding of being a son of God, it was only in my mind. Yes, I had heard I'd read the scriptures. I heard the little bit of teaching from Pastor Dave. So it had gone in to a certain degree. But again, Mark 4 took effect. The enemy came, tried my ground, rendered it unproductive, the seed. And instead of continuing to present to that unjust judge the truth of the scripture, the truth that said, "No, this is who I am," and continue and continue and continue until finally the unjust judge says, "Okay, enough. I'm going to rule in favor of the truth. The truth is, Mark is a son of God." That's where we have to get to. Because right now we look at the scripture. We mentally ascend to the scripture. I see it. Okay, I'm a son of God. That's great. Hallelujah. Amen. We go out the door. And next day, next week, where's that seed at? Oh, it's been gone. It's gone. Because that unjust judge said, "Oh no, we have a mountain, a huge mountain of evidence contrary to this little bitty bitty confession that you made." Here you are, you've made the little bitty 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 confession about being, "I'm the son of God, hallelujah, hallelujah." And here's this mountain over here on the other side of the scale that, you know, the scales of justice, on the other side, here's this mountain about what a worthless person you really are. And you've heard it for years and years and years and years and years. How much do you think that it's going to take to counteract all of the stuff that's in your mind about who you really think that you are versus the truth of who you are? Do you get what I'm saying? Because you've had a lifetime. Some of you, you're not teenagers. Nor am I. So we've had years of programming of trash going in. A lot of times we've heard what? We've heard wrong doctrine go in. We've heard all kind of stuff. And all that has gone inside of us, in our heads, in our minds. So the unjust judge is sitting here looking at this mountain, huge mountain over here. And it's got your little name on it, Mark. This is Mark right here. Not this over here, this little bitty confession that Mark made. I am a son of God. That's not going to do it. Sitting there looking at it for just, 15, 20 minutes of meditating and assimilating on it, that's not going to do it. Because you've got to counteract a lifetime of what's in your head. And here's why you have to counteract this. It's because until the unjust judge rules in your favor and it says, okay, we're going to accept this as truth. Till that happens, anything comes in through these ear gates that tries to support this, maybe you hear preacher somewhere talking about it. You know, have you ever experienced this? And inside it's like, that's not me. And you just chuck it out the door. Has anybody ever had that happen? You hear something. Later down the line, you realize, wow, that guy was telling me the truth. But your mind would not let you accept it. I'll give you an example. Gary Carpenter. He's not here tonight. He taught us about tithing. Do you remember that? And about how tithing was under the law. Do you remember that? I remember. Debbie and I can almost take you to the road we were on when we heard Gary teach this on the tape. We didn't live here at the time. We can take you to the place in the road where we heard him teach this. And it rocked us. And our mind was trying to tell us that is not the truth. Why was it trying to do that? It had this mountain of evidence on this side that said tithing. If you don't tithe, you're cursed. And it had this mountain of, if you don't tithe, you're cursed. And here's Gary over here saying, tithing is under the law. So what does my mind do? That's wrong. We're sticking over here. Because this is what we've been taught all of our life. That tithing, if you don't tithe, you're under a curse. We're going to hold on to this. Do you know how long it took me before the unjust judge finally said, all right, enough. We're going to rule in favor of the truth. The truth is, tithing is under the law. It didn't happen overnight. It took time. It took a lot of time. And if you haven't gone through the steps to feed in the truth about tithing, you're still contending with it. You're still contending with it. Because it can't just be in your mind. Yes, your mind is the seat of the unjust judge, but it has to go through there into your spirit, and a revelation has to be created because you pray in tongues, kodo bo shadabasi, and the truth becomes revealed to you. Now you can walk in it. Now that unjust judge says, oh yes, well that's the truth, of course it is, and rules in favor of the truth. Now you start walking in the truth. It's the same thing here. I can stand here and tell you about how you are a son of God. I can tell you about how God, He's your Father. He is your Father. And I can give you the greatest plea for you to believe it. And you can walk right out the door. And Mark 4 will hit you right in the face. Because it's not a mental, it's a spiritual. But it has to go through this mind. It has to be fed in. That unjust judge has to say, yes, I rule in favor of the truth because you have given me the preponderance of evidence. I'm ruling in favor of the truth. That's what takes work. That's what takes effort. That's what people generally don't want to do. But we live in this world. We've been programmed by this world. And now someone is standing up here saying, okay, all that stuff that you've believed all your life, okay, yeah, don't think about that anymore. Don't think that way anymore. Here's the truth. Just accept this. So here's what happens. People are like, okay, I accept that. That's not enough. That won't do it. That won't produce a revelation. It will get you started. But what produces the revelation is you feed it in. And you feed it in. And then you do this wonderful thing called praying in other tongues. Koto bo shoto bo sandarabasi. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remember, we're talking about the glory here. The glory of being a son of God. We'll make it over to Romans 8, I'm pretty sure of that. But this is pretty good. We're going to follow this a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 6. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Now look at this last part, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Go back over to John 17. I want you to see this about this glory. John 17, verse 22. This is Jesus praying to the Father, and he said, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them the glory of being a son of God. The glory that you gave to me, I am giving to them. That they may be one, even as we are one." That is so rich. And so hard for our little minds to grasp. That you are one with God. That you somehow could be one with God. That the glory that the Father gave to Jesus to be Son of God, and Jesus would turn around and say, "Here, accept what I did at the cross. Receive your forgiveness of sin. Be born again. Become a Son of God. Receive the life that's in me. Receive it in you. Receive the nature of my Father." Folks, what in the wide world do we have to worry about? I mean it. What do we have to worry about? We are sons of God. His life has been invested into each and every one. If we could open you up, you would glow like the sun. Right now, inside, right here, as you sit, you're putting off light. Light is just beaming out. It's probably just going right through us. We're just these beacons of light everywhere we go. Haven't you ever noticed that sometimes you get around some people and they don't really want to be around you? Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? And the more that the reality of who we are, that image of being a son, develops in you, the anointing will rest on you as a resident. Remember Pastor Dave saying this? A resident anointing. A resident anointing. And we're going to talk about that in the future. I'm not going to get into it tonight. We're going to talk about this resident anointing because it all ties together with Christ not being Jesus' name. It wasn't his first name. It wasn't his last name. It wasn't Christ Jesus. It wasn't Jesus Christ, meaning Jesus was his name. Christ is what he was. And if Christ be in you, what does that mean? And what does it mean, Christ being formed in you? I'm just giving you a little bait right now. That's what Pastor Dave used to do. You know that. That's what we're going to get to. We're going to find out that the anointing was on him, was the anointing on sonship, on being that son. That's what was anointed. And he gave us the glory of being a son of God. So what's missing now? Because I am a son of God. You are a son of God. As you sit there tonight, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're a son of God. So what's missing? Because I didn't see when I walked in here a bunch of people healed following me. Now Jesus would have, but I didn't. So what's the missing part? The missing part is this. First, I have to give this unjust judge enough evidence to rule in favor of the truth. And as I do that, because what I'm doing to do that, I'm taking the word and I'm putting it through these eye gates and I'm praying in tongues. So I put it in my eye gates. Have you ever noticed that it's really hard to get anything out of a person that's speaking to you in another language if you don't understand that language? It's really hard. I mean, you could have the greatest preacher, and if he's sitting here speaking a language that you don't know anything about, you can sit there and nod your head. I've been in those services. You nod your head. You don't know what they're saying. We are in Ukraine. It happened to me, and didn't have a translator. Just sit there and nod your head. You don't know what they're saying. Why is that? Because it has to go through your understanding first. You've got to understand it with this nut of a mind. Because in doing that, it filters down into that spirit man, and that's where the seeds are planted. And then you confess over that, you water that, and you are on your way to having a revelation of being the Son of God that you are. And when that revelation develops within you, it won't be any different, no different at all, than when the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus after he was baptized and he was anointed for service, because that's when his ministry began and that's when yours will begin. I want you to see what I just said there. I can see some of your minds are like, what? He didn't do the miracles because he was God. He did the miracles because the anointing was on his sonship. And it was the revelation of being a son of God that is what produced the miracles. So that's why it says the works, he said, the works that I do, you'll do also. John 14:12, the works that I do, you'll do also, and even greater than these you'll do, because I go to my Father. I've been waiting to do this one. I've been waiting for this. I'm getting a little bit farther than I expected tonight. Do you remember Alan? He'd stand right here and he'd say, okay, this is what we think we're doing. God, here's somebody with a need right here. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and we're just going to connect this person right here with God. Okay, God, see him? See this person? Okay, all right, there you go. And we get out of the way and let God take over. Remember him saying that? Does anybody remember that? Sure. Well, I let that just turn inside of me and turn inside of me and turn and turn and turn. Because he said, that's not what happens. Alan said, that's not what happens. So I let that turn and turn inside of me. Okay. Then what is it? Then what is it if I'm not connecting this person up? Now, if it's a gift, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if it's one of the gifts, really, you are more or less connecting them up, and you are getting out of the way. It is going to flow through you, but you're connecting them with God. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a resident anointing. We're talking about, I lay hands on them, and the anointing comes down and anoints this image in me. And that anointing flows through me to them. It's really the life that goes from me to them. You get that? But first there has to be a living image inside of me. Well, how do I get that? Well, go back here to the unjust judge and start working on it. And get it, because it's obtainable. It is obtainable. Lake wasn't special. As much as I love Pastor Dave, he's not special. He's just a man. But what he's done is he's given that unjust judge so much evidence of the truth that the unjust judge said, yes, I rule in favor of the truth. And as he had put that truth inside of him, there was constantly being created, as he prayed in tongues, that developing revelation of being a son of God. All the crying that we see happening to Pastor David, especially back then, all of that was the love that had been cultivated through this revelation of being a son. Here, I want you to go back to Romans 8. I was going to give you a handout, but I don't think I have time for it now. I went through Romans 8. Romans 8, I'll tell you what. I had Debbie. It's probably, I would consider Romans 8 to be one of the most packed with revelation chapter in the Bible. I had to get her, and I'm holding in my hand for those that are listening, 4 pages. I had her just print out Romans 8. And this is what I did. I stuck it on the wall in front of me where I pray at. And I just sat there and I just looked at Romans 8 and just read it and read it and prayed. There is so much in this. If you look at the Romans 7 man, how many of you know the Romans 7 man? Do you remember Romans 7 man? That's the man, the Jew that had the law. He wasn't born again, and he couldn't keep the law. And Gary likes the example of the Jew, the man. He goes to work. He goes to the office. He's got that new secretary. He's under the law. He's got that new secretary. He comes home. His wife looks at him. Did you have a good day at work, honey? And he's got that new secretary. He said, honey, you better go kill another lamb. It was a tough day at the office because he couldn't keep himself from sinning. He sinned. There was nothing holding him back except for this law and these rules that his mind could read, understand. And yet there was no strength to say no except for the punishment. Adultery? You want to do that with your secretary? Okay, here's the punishment, is death. That's pretty rude. That was the punishment. So you were sitting here in your mind trying to decide, do I want to die today or am I going to leave the secretary alone? I mean, that's how they had to make these decisions based on whatever the law said the punishment was. That was the only restraint that they had. Why? They had their spirit man was dead. And you remember I did this Sunday morning? I had the three guys standing up here. I had the one that had the sign for the mind. I had him put this on over his eyes. You see, the spirit's dead if they're not born again. And their eyes are blinded to the truth. They can look at the Bible. They could look at the Bible and it still wouldn't make any sense to them at all. So they had nothing restraining them from doing the sin except the punishment. That was it. That was the Romans 7 man. Now look at the last verse in Romans 7 and then we'll go to Romans 8. And we'll just cover just a little bit of Romans 8. I won't keep you all night. Don't worry. The last verse, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. See, that's all he had was his mind. But with flesh. See, that word flesh there encompasses his dead human spirit. His mind, his body, all of that was flesh. With the flesh, the law of sin. That law of sin. Oh, I can't impress this on you enough. Until that law of sin was done away with, we had no hope at all. Had no hope. There was no hope. I mean, you can look back and see just how horrible this man had it. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. In other words, the things that I do, I really don't want to do them, but yet I really do want to do them. But I don't, but I do. It was kind of a back and forth in his head. But what I hate, that I do. And I think the reason why he could say he hated it, because he hated what he knew the punishment was going to be for doing it. That's the only hate about it. Because his flesh was saying, just go ahead, have a big time. It's okay. So now, with all of that in mind, now we look at Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now is right now. There's no more condemnation. What does that mean? There's no more death sentence hanging over you. That death sentence was enacted in the garden when Adam sinned, because God had already told him, when you sin, you die. In Jesus, there's no more condemnation. I want you to think about this. Here's the man in Romans 7. He couldn't help himself. And now, suddenly, Romans 8, verse 1, no more condemnation. No more condemnation. We hear it so much, we really don't appreciate all that had to happen for those words to be written There's no more condemning sentence to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, that walk of the flesh versus the walk of the Spirit. The walk of the flesh is the person that's not born again. They have nothing but the mind in that law. That's the only thing they have. Their flesh just leads them around. I've been there. That's one of the most horrible places to be. And that walk of the Spirit is when you're born again, life is inside of you. His nature has come inside of you. Now you can walk according to that reborn human spirit. And you can know that He's going to take you in the right direction. Now I want you to look, with that in mind, I want you to look towards the end. We're going to look down at read verse 31 first. With that in mind, there's no more condemnation. Praise God for that. So let's go all the way to the end. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Go a little bit further. Go to verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, why did I do that? Why did I jump from the person that just comes into the reality, there's no more condemnation, glory to God, that death nature's gone. Now I can listen to the voice that comes out of this reborn human spirit. I can trust it. I can go that way. Why did I go from that point all the way to the end? Because generally speaking, that's what most churches will tell you. They skip the middle part. And the middle part is where the changing happens. That's what produces the last part. Did you get that? You can't go from the beginning of it to the end of it and say, you all are more than conquerors. Glory to God, you're more than a conqueror. Without going through the middle part. Because the middle part is where you get the revelation of being a son. The middle part is where we have Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28. Which I think you all know those verses. But see, those are only part of the whole chapter. And we're not going to have enough time to go into all this. But that's only part of it. The leadership of the Holy Spirit that Pastor Dave broke in 26, 27, and 28. That leadership that comes through praying in tongues. It's only part of this chapter. The rest of the chapter is, you're a son. Well, prove it to me. Well, I'll just give this to you and then we'll stop, okay? Because I can tell you're waning on me. So I'll just give you a little bit of this and then we'll stop. Let's go to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's that reborn human spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, I did see a translation that talks about this as being a mature son. And I like that. I think that's good. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But look at this. Nestled right in the middle of this chapter, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself, I like Himself better than itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children, offspring of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, now here's the part people will cut out. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be, what is that word? Glorified. Did you ever see that word before? Glorified. Now, we're not talking about you taking on deity here. So what's this glory? This glory is being the Son of God that you are. The revelation of being that son. So what's the suffering? This suffering is all this whole process of changing the mind of this unjust judge. It's you putting to death the desires of that flesh that carried over to you when you were born again. It's renewing your mind to the truth. It's the whole transformation process. That's the suffering. People don't like doing it because it's not easy. But the bottom line is, this will produce miracles. This will produce miracles. This will produce a more than a conqueror person. And that's what we're after. Let me go on just a little bit more. I'm telling you, I'm going to stop here in just a second. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature." Now that creature there, we're not talking about mountains and trees. We're talking about the creation of the people that are not born again yet. Look at this. Waits. They're waiting for something. The manifestation. And that word is apocalypsis, which is the same word you use for having a revelation of the sons of God. That's what they're waiting for. That's what the world is waiting to see. Will someone go through a little suffering? It's not going to kill you. A little bit of suffering. Will they apply themselves? Apply the principles of change? And as a result of that, will be a manifestation of what it means to really be Son of God. Because when that happens, John G. Lake's ministry. Hey, forget that. Let's talk about Jesus' ministry in the earth. That's what I'm after. I want to see that. And this is the pathway to get to that place. This is it. Now, don't be like me. Don't be like me 10 years ago that heard Pastor Dave talking about this and let it go in one ear, take a little stop break, and then go out the other ear. Don't be like me. It's taken me all these years to get back to this place. I don't intend on letting this go. I mean, I could look all the way back to 1994 when that book came into my hands about Lake and about his revelation of being a son. Why didn't I get it then? Why wasn't it any more to me than just mental information? As long as it stays there and it doesn't produce that revelation, as long as it's just something that goes in one ear and out the other, I'm not going to see that glory. But I can assure you something. If you will stay in there and you will continue to feed the word that tells you who God has made you, if you'll continue to put that in your mouth and just say, "God, you are my Father. You are my Father. You are my Father. God, you're my Father." See, because there's only a few joining in, and I'm not condemning you at all. I can tell that it's not yet in your heart, but it will be if you'll do this. And then when I start, you'll all start, because it cries out. Once it's there, it wants to come out. "I love you, Father. God, you're my Father. I'm your son. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Glory." And it just gets all over you. It just gets all over you. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? I think you've hit saturation point tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just join me. Just go ahead. Just join me. Thank you, Jesus. Father. Father, you're my Father. God, you're my Father, and I'm your son. Hallelujah. I'm your son. I'm your son. God, I am your son. You're my Father. 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 God, you're my Father. Now I'm your son. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. I am a son. I tell you what, you can just go home and just say that. Just say that. Just say it. I'm a son of God. God, you're my Father, and I'm your son. You're my Father. Just keep saying it. It'll do you good. And worship Him with it. I worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I thank you. I believe that's what you wanted me to share with them tonight. Hallelujah. God, you're taking us into something here. I know you are. I know it's been here all the time. I know it has. Father, I let it down before I laid it down, and I repent for doing that. I repent. I repent for laying it down. This is who we are. This is the revelation. This is the gospel. Heavenly Father, I thank you for ministering grace to every person here that they will press in and get this revelation. Get it on the inside of them. And don't turn loose. Don't let Mark 4 hit them in the face when they leave. Don't let the enemy come and take that word. Help them to cultivate the grace, to cultivate this. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, the revival, and I've got it, I've got the message where I heard Pastor Dave say this years ago. Revival begins in each one of us. That's where it begins. We're not looking for some glory cloud to rain down on us and us stay the same way we are. Come on now. You got to know that's not the case. I mean, you can't go here for any length of time and believe that. This is not a glory cloud raining down on unchanged people kind of revival. This is a revival where you know who you are. You've got that revelation. The Holy Ghost can anoint that revelation and lives can be changed. Just get your hands on them. It'll get so strong that you get in the presence of them and they're changed. That's what we're after, and this is how you get it. It's very obtainable. It's very obtainable. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. Hallelujah. We grab this with both hands. We hold on to it with both hands. We're going to carry this with us. We're going to listen to this message again and again. We're going to get this inside of us. We're going to get the word inside of us. That unjust judge is going to rule in favor of the truth. And we'll have everything. Everything. We'll walk as Jesus walked. We'll do what Jesus did. We just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.